You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it, one play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? Don't worry. No way.
You must go seize the
moment. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside Ben Davis Football presented by Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors. My name is Maxwell Gilley alongside WBDG General Manager John Easter, high school football expert Jeff Robison, and head coach of the Giants, Jason Simmons. And coach, let's get right into this. The Giants got a big win over North Central, 42-6, to win their 12th MIC conference title. What did you think of the team's performance?
Well, I thought we got off to the start that we needed to get off to. Played extremely well defensively, really all night long. Gave up a couple of big plays, one in the pass game, two kind of quarterback scrambles, quarterback runs. But I felt like all in all, especially for the guys, we had four starting secondary guys out going into the game. So the guys that we played in the secondary, some guys played some different spots than what they had played. But all in all, the guys that stepped up and, you know, they prepared themselves really well during the first week of fall break. So we had some new guys in the secondary that played well. Felt like our second level defenders showed a lot of growth. Those guys have really gotten better over the 2 week fall break. Drew Evans, Tariq Oyesiji, both those guys had good nights for us. And then we were able to play a lot of guys up front defensively, and I think that was important for us. One, to get guys game reps heading into the tournament. Two, it allowed us to keep some guys fresh and healthy. Then, you know, you flip the thing over offensively, and felt like we got into a rhythm and played well. You know, we did some really good things in the run game. That felt like we went into it feeling like we could be close to 50-50 once we got in there. They were bringing so much pressure that we felt like we could just, if we got to the second level of their defense, we would be out the gate. And that allowed us to rip some explosive runs and to really, really do some good things in the run game. And, you know, we had three different running backs go for over 50 yards. And I think anytime you do that, you got to give some credit to your offensive line. And our offensive line did a nice job picking up all the various pressures that North Central threw. They mixed their fronts. They mixed pressures quite a bit. And I felt like those guys hung in there. We played five guards. Played four different guards that Friday night. Seems like it was forever ago since we've been here, but played four different guards that night. Again, it was an opportunity to get guys a bunch of game reps. And, the one area that we weren't very good was on special teams. I felt like we were grossly inconsistent on special teams. We did just enough, to get by. We gave up a punt block, which really was negligence. Didn't kick the ball well in the kicking game at all. And so that's been a point of emphasis for us here since we've gotten out of that game in the last week and a half. So, we certainly left plenty of things to work on. But all in all, when you can go on the road in the MIC conference and close out an undefeated MIC season, it says a lot about your football team, especially being on fall break.
Coach, it's not that long ago that North Central had played its way into the upper half of the MIC. A couple of years back, what has really taken North Central back to the bottom of the conference this point?
I think when you look at 2018, 2019, that 2008, that class of 2019, the group of guys that were seniors in 2018 played a lot of football. Obviously, they had a special quarterback who's doing really good things at Wabash right now. And then 2019, we beat them here at home. To force a four-way tie for the MIC title, and then COVID hit, and I think COVID had a huge impact on a lot of different people in a lot of different ways, and I don't know that they've been the same since then, to be honest. At least the last three seasons, it felt like it's been a little bit different. 2020, they certainly had a good record going into our game. We were fortunate to get out of there with a win that night. and we gave up the opening kickoff to Theron Johnson and then rattled off the next 42, you know. And so, I don't think they've been kind of been the same since then, but, you know, for our guys, it was good to go on the road and offensively and defensively felt like we played a clean game for the most part.
Coach, just catching up on some milestones here for some of your players. I know Marcus Reese continues to go up the season receptions record now with 55. I believe that puts him in sixth now all time in a season, and he's third as far as yardage goes with 885. But Thomas Gatkowski now over 2,000 yards passing. He becomes the fifth Ben Davis Giant to go over 2,000 yards. We were talking off air before the show started. He joins a pretty good list here of Kyle Kastner, some guy named Reese Taylor, and Jawan Swanson and Matt Brock. Probably a lot of people would miss the trivia question there on the fifth one there, with Matt Brock being that fifth one. He was a quarterback for one season, had played fullback, I believe, the year before, but came in and threw over 2,000 yards in 2011. So talk about those milestones. What do those things mean to these young men and to your program? Obviously, you can still see them going higher up on the list, hopefully, as maybe the season is extended further.
Yeah, I think when you look at those things, and you know, I think what the thing that stands out to me the most, in all honesty, is the you look at those guys and they're humble guys that would tell you they haven't done it by themselves. You know, we were fortunate from an offensive standpoint to have the leading rusher, the leading receiver yardage wise, and the leading passer in our conference this year. I think that says a lot about our offensive staff. It says a lot about what those guys put into it from a work standpoint. When nobody's watching, you know, those guys are here. They're throwing on their own. They're constantly putting work in. And so for, you know, really for Marcus, Thomas, and AP, you know, to lead our conference in their respective categories says a lot about those guys. It also says a lot about the system and the unit. You know, we've gone into every game with priorities and taking what the defense gives us and not being greedy and just make the plays that come your way. And, you know, we have skill guys on our offense that want the ball every play, and we want those guys. We want guys that have that mentality, because if something doesn't go their way, they're going to do is just ask for the ball again. And it's important for us to go get them the ball, you know. And, you know, it's easy to point to Marcus, you know, Marcus one night, Lincoln Murph another night, Zane Skibinski a night, you know, and Destin Beecham another night. You know, we've had different leading receivers. We've had, I think, four guys go over 75 yards receiving in a game. So I think a lot of it speaks to the system, but a lot of it speaks to the work that those guys have put in to have that success. You know, we're certainly grounded right now in terms of just trying to stay in work mode, you know. Haven't really taken a deep breath and looked at those numbers. But, you know, I think it's the game of football, trying to reward guys that do things the right way.
Coach, while any quarterback getting 2,000 yards is a great accomplishment, Thomas Gatkowski got there in less than a full season because he wasn't eligible for the first Brownsburg game.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, I think part of that goes back to, if you're going to be a successful passer and rack up passing yards, you know, there's a lot of variables that go into play. You got to have good protection. You got to have a system that allows you to take advantage of what your skill set is. And then you got to have guys on the other end catch it. And Thomas is a really talented quarterback, extremely hard worker, great leader. And, you know, he's been extremely coachable. You know, he's done what we've asked him to do. He's utilized the talents that he's developed and that the good Lord gave him. And, you know, I think he's connected with our guys in a big way.
All right, Coach. The regular season ends 6-3, three close losses, which to Brownsburg, Santa Grove, and Carmel. As we look towards the playoffs, what have been your thoughts on the regular season?
Well, it's just that. You know, we were fortunate to go 5-0 in the MIC, you know, and that was one of the goals that we had coming into the season, was we wanted to win our conference. Felt like we would have to go undefeated in the conference to be able to do it. You know, and the other thing is, you know, we talk about those three losses, and you know, I think what stands out to me the most, and I've talked to our coaches about it, talked to our players about it too, is, you know, in those three games, we had the football in the fourth quarter with the chance to either take the lead or tie the game. in all three of those instances and just came up short. And then you spin that ahead to week eight, you know, in a championship game with LC, and our football team had the opportunity in the fourth quarter to take the lead or tie the game, and we were able to finish that against a really good defense. And so I think when you take a deep breath, which we were able to do last week over the bye week, when you're able to take a deep breath and take a look at that 9-game stretch, it says a lot about your team that we were able to continue to grow and get better. And that's really been a focus of ours every year since I've been here, is to continue to get better week in and week out. And we felt like we were able to do that over fall break, and we've certainly had a good start to the week coming up here.
Coach, with Center Grove and Carmel being out of the mix, this was the first time that we've seen these five teams in the mix lineup for, or these six teams, pardon me, in the mix lineup for a season. I know you've been very vocal about your opinion on Carmel and Center Grove leaving the mix, but some people, not anyone in this room, but some people might say that maybe it's a different mix championship. How do you feel about that?
Well, it is. I mean, it is different because it's not the eight-team setup. It's a six-team setup. We can all be honest and acknowledge that. It is different. The one thing that we had control over was playing who was on our schedule. You know, the one thing we didn't have control over was who's in our league and who's not. You know, they asked my opinion. I gave them my opinion. The decisions were certainly made higher up than where I'm at on the food chain, which I have complete respect for, completely understand it and get it. I would love for both of them to still be in our conference. That's why I'm pounding the table to keep both of them on our schedule. You know, they're two great programs, two great games year in and year out. And so for us, you know, the things that we could control were playing the 5-game mixed schedule that we had and trying to do the best we could against those five opponents to come out 5-0 and to win a mixed championship. And our guys were able to do that this year.
Coach, you've had 9 games that you played through your regular season. Which game do you think off your schedule or which performance best defines this year's Ben Davis Giants?
Well, I don't know that we've played a full 48 minutes. At the level that we feel like we want to play at. I think I can walk you through every week of the season and give you snippets of every game where we showed flashes, where we showed improvement, where we showed areas where we got to get better. And so I think the important part, and we have coaches on our staff that have done an unbelievable job with this, is we got to make sure we stay humble, and we got to make sure we understand the why. You know, when you go back to the LC game, take the LC game, for example, why did we struggle offensively in the first half? We had to identify those things, and I think in the first quarter we had some self-inflicted wounds that kind of put us in bad spots. In the second quarter, we got a little panicky offensively. Well, in the meantime, our defense just kept stacking stops. You know, we gave up 2 plays for 90 yards and 18 plays or 20 plays, whatever it was, for 20-something yards. Well, you know, there's ebbs and flows in the game of football all the time, and you know, if you can minimize big plays, you can find a way to create big plays on your own. You know, certainly you're going to set yourself up to have success. And, you know, in the second half of that game, we completely took the big plays out of it from a defensive perspective. We got into a rhythm offensively. And I think if there's one game that kind of – you can look at the second half of that game and say, you know, that's how good our football team can be. You know, we were clean on special teams. You know, offensively we put up over 300 yards in 2 quarters of football. And from a defensive perspective, you know, we neutralized a pretty high-powered offense.
So I think with that, we're going to take a quick halftime for Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors. And when we return, we will dive deep into the sectional matchup against Brownsburg right here on Indy's Giant 90.9.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. each year. AmVets members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AmVets posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AmVets by joining today at amvets.org.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Chuck Bear, Carpenter Realtors. Coach, the Giants will take on a Brownsburg team as a part of Sectional 5. You lost to them 21-16 in Week 1. I know we've mentioned it just a little bit, but truly, how much have the Giants changed from Week 1 to now?
Well, I think you look at both teams, really. You know, we were able to, you know, put all nine of their games on, and they have all nine of ours. And you look at them on film, and, you know, when you look at them offensively, you know, they've done nothing but become more efficient and more explosive since Week 1. You know, they play at a really high tempo. Their quarterback, Jaden Whitaker, does an outstanding job running the show for them. You know, they have two, three tailbacks that they can employ on any given drive. That, you know, they have playmakers on the perimeter as well at the wide receiver spot. So from an offensive standpoint, you know, you've really seen them just kind of get into a better rhythm than what we saw Week 1, which I didn't know. You know, I didn't know how possible that was going to be. But, you know, they have a high-powered offense that can generate a bunch of points. I think they're averaging close to 40 a game. And, you know, they've pushed tempo on people, they've pushed points on people, and they've really kind of asserted themselves. Offensive line's a big physical group that has gelled and gotten better since Week 1. Then you turn them on defensively, and, you know, they continue to be multiple. You know, they spend some time in an odd front, spend some time in an even front. They're really efficient at what they do defensively, and they consistently week in and week out make plays for their football team, and their kicking game is extremely solid too. You know, they blocked two punts in the Cathedral game. You know, they've had a knack for pressuring kicks, which obviously is a red flag for us with the struggles that we've shown here a couple of different instances during the season. And so, you know, their kick block units are extremely efficient, and their kicking game is really sound. Then you flip it over and you look at us, and, you know, we've talked a bunch on this show about the progress that we've made. And, yeah, I think, you know, our offensive line, we've played a bunch of guys up there this year. We've played 8-9 guys at times. And, you know, to have depth is always needed this time of year. So we feel good about the development of that group. I think that group's going to be critical for us on Friday to be able to ID the defensive looks that we get and then know their toolbox that they can use to give us a chance to go run the football. And really to ID second level pressures in the pass game too. So I think our offensive line has grown and gelled and gotten better. I think you've seen our offensive skill guys kind of grow with each other. You know, I think it takes time when you have a quarterback and some new receivers, and I think that group has gelled and gotten better. We've certainly developed some depth as the year has gone on at that position, which has been huge for us. And, you know, I think defensively, we have found ourselves, you know, early on in the year, really go back to Week 1, and we played a bunch of guys in a bunch of different spots defensively. We finished the game with two sophomore linebackers playing in the fourth quarter because of injuries, because of cramps, because of other. And so, you know, for us, it's been, you know, really kind of finding everybody's niche, finding their comfort level and where they're at. And we feel like we've done that defensively, and we've established some things in terms of rotations, but just in terms of people's comfort level and their skill set and what they can do and where that fits within our scheme and fitting our scheme to our players. We've really done that defensively. And so we've made ourselves more multiple. We've made ourselves more diverse, which is going to pay off for us hopefully this Friday. And then kicking game, we've gotten some things shored up, gotten a little bit better in the kicking game, more sound. Gotten some of our depth that we were able to create throughout the season has really shown up on special teams in terms of our coverage units and our ability to return kicks and punts too. So I think you're going to see two teams that are in the top really 4, 5 and 6A on Friday, and it's probably why it's a heavily talked about game. You know, it shapes up to be a great atmosphere. Weather's going to be nice, and shapes up to be a great football game.
Coach, you look at the first time you played Brownsburg, Obviously, you did not have Thomas Gutkowski. You also look at Brownsburg's quarterback situation. Jaden Whitaker was hurt against Hamilton Southeastern in their last game. How much of a factor do both of the quarterback positions become in making this a completely different game?
Well, I think it certainly has a chance. You know, we've talked about that. I don't know Jaden's status, to be completely honest with you. My focus has been on trying to do everything I can to make sure our guys are ready to go own their role and prepare our football team to go play the best that they can on Friday. You would have a hard time convincing me that a senior suiting up in his last tournament ride is not going to do everything in his power to be out there. I mean, you watch Jaden Whitaker on film, and he has great command of their offense. You know, he's an FCS level quarterback. Obviously, he's a Western Illinois commit, but he's extremely tough. He's a physical player, runs the football well. Everybody wants to talk about him as a runner, but as a thrower, you know, his release has gotten quicker, which makes him even harder to defend. Has an extremely high football IQ. He's a coach's son, so he knows he can read a coverage and knows where he wants to go with the football. So he doesn't waste a lot of movement back there. He's a tough out. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that he's not going to do everything in his power, that he's going to be out there and ready to go. You know, what his status is, I have no idea, but I know this. Like, we're going to see number 9 for Brownsburg suit up, and he's going to take command of that offense, and he's going to push the tempo with them, and he's going to give that football team everything he's got, and he's done that his entire career.
Coach, I know you're active not only the Indiana Football Coaches Association. Oh, no, I know that you're active in that organization. When you look at the draw, the way the sectional draw came out, on the other side you have Pike and Avon. Both those teams have struggled this year. On this side you get Ben Davis and Brownsburg. And a lot of people would argue, since Brownsburg spent a lot of the year at number one, that they might be the best team in the sectional. Again, you know, we might differ on WBDG, but a lot of people might argue that, Coach. So how do you feel about the way that sectionals are drawn? I know it seems like we talk about this every year. I remember we brought this up with Coach Kirshner. He had an idea of seeding everybody 1-32, which he brought up on this program. And now it seems like when I pull that out every year, everybody either, oh, this is the greatest thing, or how do you seed them, or what happens. You know, Coach also at one point said I thought we were the pride of the West Side. Apparently this year we're on the East Side when they were in with Lawrence North and Lawrence Central and Warren, and that was the same way in your first year here. So you've seen a lot of different sectional draws and things, but I guess the first question is, do you believe sectionals should be seeded? If so, you know, how does that look and work? And I don't know if maybe the coaches are talking about that. But then secondarily, are you happy to draw the best team first? And I guess those are the two yes no questions that I shouldn't have asked, but I'm asking them. So there.
Well, I'll make it more than yes no. I think the hard part about seeding is, and there's merit to doing it. There absolutely is. You know, we've surveyed our membership multiple times through the Indiana Football Coaches Association. We've had multiple conversations with Assistant Commissioner Robert Falcons. Had conversations with Commissioner Bobby Cox before he retired. The hard part about seeding is you do it for one, you got to do it for every sport. And then so where then do you draw the mechanism for what's your evaluative tool to seed baseball? What's your evaluative tool to seed softball? What's your evaluative tool to seed basketball? Because everybody's going to have a different tool. You know, you use Sagarin rating. What, you know, for us, like next year we're going to open, you know, 2 years ago Brownsburg opened with St. X. Next year we're going to open with Cincinnati Moeller. Or played St. X in week 2, excuse me, Brownsburg did. And then, you know, next year we're opening up with Cincinnati Moeller. Well, out-of-state games don't count. Well, you get into pockets of Indiana, whether you're in Northwest Indiana or you get into Southeast Indiana, you take a school like East Central, who's played 3 out-of-state teams. Well, that's a daggone good 4A football program that may have their Sagarin rating or ranking impacted by playing out-of-state teams. And does that impact their seeding in 4A? And so I think there's so many things, there's so many layers to it that if you start to go down that rabbit hole, you better have a really detailed plan that can be applied across all of the sports that the IHSAA services, because it's one thing to say, yeah, let's seed 6A 1 through 32. Well, it's easy to say that for the 22 teams that are in Central Indiana. We're not the one paying a bunch of gas money, right, that are in either Marion County or in the donut counties. But the other 10 schools, you know, if we're drawing, you know, whoever it is, and we're going to the region in round one, that's a haul. So I just think there's that's for somebody else's time. I've been a part of two different layouts, two different surveys, all of it through the Coaches Association. I just think that's a rabbit hole that's pretty deep when you start to look at what's your mechanism for every sport. In terms of our draw, we'll play whoever they tell us to play, when they tell us to play them, and where. You know, the beauty about being in Indiana is you have an opportunity to you're guaranteed to be in the tournament, and you played essentially nine scrimmage games, right, to get yourself in a position to roll into the tournament and see where you stand. And so we knew going into the tournament we were going to draw, you know, the potential was there to draw the number one team, to draw Avon, to draw Pike, and here we are, you know. So we can spend a bunch of time standing around complaining about the draw, or we can spend a bunch of time getting our rear ends to work and coming up with what we feel like is a good plan to go play Brownsburg and give them the best shot we got. And that's how we're going to use our time in our program. Our kids have been fantastic, you know. Even since the draw came out, we talked about the draw the Monday of the North Central week. We put the sectional to bed, worried about North Central for 4 days of prep, and on Friday night, and when we got back here Friday after the game, our focus immediately shifted to Brownsburg, and they've had our undivided attention since. And so it is what it is. You tell us who we're playing, when and where, and we're going to show up, and we're going to have a plan, and we're going to, you know, hoping, good Lord willing, we're going to give you the best shot we got. And as long as the tournament stays the way it is, you got two choices when the draw comes. You can complain about it, or you can get to work. And as long as I'm entrusted to run this program and to be the head coach here, we're not going to complain about a draw. We're just going to get to work and go do our thing.
Given that football has kind of been its own unique animal in terms of the way the IHSAA has run it over the years, I'm really surprised by hearing that the coaching proposal about seeding was kind of met with that we had to do it in all sports. So that was the response you were getting?
That wasn't the response that we've gotten in the most recent survey, but that comes up in conversation, because you take Hamilton County. You know, I spent 5 years at Noblesville. That Hamilton County sectional that Noblesville's in baseball is a meat grinder. And, you know, good luck seeding that sectional and making those guys happy, you know, because that's just tough to do, because – you know, and the HCC played a three-game conference. I think they're a three-game series in baseball. Now they're down to a two-game series. I think we play two-game series in the MIC, or we used to in baseball. So if you never see somebody's ace in the regular season, that could skew. I just think it's a tough tool to – I think it would be really hard to do. And I don't know. Yeah, I mean, based on regular season record, it's like, well, good luck. I mean – then you don't load your schedule up as, you know. I just think there's way too many variables. You know, our membership was really kind of divided, was, you know, probably closer to 50-50. And if we take a 50-50 survey poll into the IHSAA, they're just going to laugh at us and say thanks. You know, we have our Coaches Association has a great relationship with them. We're not going to do anything to jeopardize that. But, you know, I think it's different. You know, it's just different.
So it should be a really fun one on Friday. Of course, the playoffs are always exciting. So, Coach, what's your message to Purple Rain?
Show up and show out. You know, we're going to wear our black jerseys, black pants. That's what our players want to do. I know Mr. Easter isn't a huge fan, but, you know, I think they want Purple Rain to have a jersey match.
I will say, after seeing North Central's uniforms a couple Fridays ago, that the black ones aren't so bad.
Yeah, so, you know, just show up and support these guys. They have all year. They've been great all year. Our players are going to show up and give them the best they got, and we have an opportunity here to get the tournament started off right against the rival.
So, the Giants, well as the Brownsburg Bulldogs, this Friday night at Giants Stadium. The pregame is 6:15. Kickoff is at 7. Owen Poley and I will have the call right here on Indy's Giant 90.9. So, make sure to tune in. And this has been Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Chuck Bear Carpenter Real.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.